You know, Abraham is the father of faith. From one man, God made a nation called Israel and brought a Savior to the world. His name is Jesus. Amen? And he made them an example of his faithfulness. Israel and the life of Abraham is an example of how faithful God is to us. And so if we're going to follow God, we have to follow somebody who is faithful. Abraham was faithful, the Bible says, and all his house. And we need role models of faith, don't we? The Bible says in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, that we follow them, those people who are faithful. In Hebrews 6, 12, it says that you be not slothful. How many slothful people here? Don't raise your hand. That means lazy. That's the King James. And how many of you ever saw a sloth? I see a few around here once in a while. Now, when you go to the, you go to the zoo. We went there several times. Went to the zoo, and we always went to the sloth area just to be reminded. how you look when you follow God, right? The Bible says, "Do not be slothful." Next time you God speaks to you about giving, tell yourself, "Don't be slothful," or serving, or anything. Okay, look at me with those little hairy eyes. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Two things about someone who is faithful. They'll enjoy the blessings of God. Amen? That they'll follow God no matter what happens. And my wife and I made a pact when we got married. I said, "Honey, if you left and didn't follow God, I would still follow God. I would still move on." And I still mean it. And she means it. He said, "If you were dead, I would not marry anybody else." Anyway, erase that off. But we need to be faithful. You know, and God called every one of you before you had anything. And now you want to put stipulations on following God if you had your job yet. Amen? If I had my money, if I don't get this money, I'm going to get mad at God and just leave. Right? And some people, they think that way, see? So whether my family follows God, my kids follow God, I'm still going to follow God. Yeah. Amen? There's three people that are excited in here, and the rest of you are just thinking about it. And I remember when my mother was dying with cancer, you know, I bugged my mom for years, "Come on to church, learn about the Word of God, learn about healing." My mother died of cancer. And she had opportunities to come and learn the Word. My brother, same thing, he had cancer. You know, he would come and we would pray, and he'd come to special meetings. Everybody say special meetings. Well, special meetings is not going to church. Going to church is coming to Wednesday night services when everybody else is having supper, coming to meetings on Sundays, putting apart that day on Sunday so that you get ready on Saturday, you don't get too tired, and you get ready for Sunday. Amen. Amen. You're faithful. And when my mom died, I said, "God, I still believe in healing. And at that time, I didn't know why my mom died, but I learned since why she passed away. One of the things, she smoked so much. Told her, don't smoke, because that'll affect you. 50% of people, they say, statistically get cancer, so you don't want to be in the 50 that get it, right? My brother, in the same token, you know, he smoked quite a bit, and he died of cancer in the lungs. And, he always promised, I promise one day I'm going to come and serve and so on, you know. And so, but he never did come. And every year I do a lot of funerals, and people go on and act like this, they're going to live here forever. You don't have that many years. We don't have that many years. How many years do you have left? Well, I was thinking about the other day, somebody talked about it. I thought about it last night. If I'm going to live another 20 years, I'll be almost 90. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? Well, Pastor Ken's really believing I'll live at least 90. Well, your mom's almost 90. 84? Well, that's too far away yet. Can't count, So, we're going to be faithful. We're faithful people. And no matter what happens, we're going to follow God, whether you get a job or not, whether you get that raise or not, whether your wife stays with you, whether your kids stay straight or whatever, you're still going to follow God. Whether it's you're happy, whether you're sad, you're still going to follow God. That's what we have to do. That's our commitment. When you came to Jesus, we said, Lord, I'll follow you. And then when the first bad thing happens or something you didn't like, you want to leave God right away. And you blame him for it when it was actually the devil. Or you were actually the devil that did it. So we need to, if we want to follow, and you know, if we want to be blessed, we got to follow God. Be, you know, faithfulness, you know. Don't worry about the next guy. Let's read over here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 9. I want to see something here. I want us to look at a few things. Paul is talking to the church there at Thessalonica, and he asked for prayer there for a good reason, and that is, and people were after his neck. How much, you know, no one's after our necks, but it's good to ask, you know, for prayer if you're being persecuted and you're preaching the gospel. There's a time when you have to pull up your own pants and believe God for your own sugar. I say that because when we were kids, our mom used to send us, go over to the priest's house and borrow some sugar. I know Maxine was talking about that the other day. When we were poor, the poor people that passed our house told us, those guys are really poor. We were so poor, you know. You could actually feel the wind at night. You had to wear earmuffs when you're sleeping at night. And sleep with mukluks. And I'm almost not even joking with that. You get up in the morning, your water pails are frozen. Should I go on or shall we preach this? We're preaching the gospel. Okay, it says here, 1 Thessalonians 3. Is that it? Go to the third chapter because the Lord just changed his mind. Did I write the right scripture? Yes. Chapter 3, verse 1. Second Thessalonians, excuse me. I'm getting, the Lord's moving everywhere today. I'm talking too much about water pills. Finally, my brethren, pray for us. Paul is asking for prayer here. That the word of the Lord may have free course. Well, that's a good thing to ask God, to other people to pray about corporately. Let's pray that the word of God is, and be glorified even as it has with you. Let's change this to the NIV for already New Living. Kelsey, is that you back there? Yeah, okay. Finally, my brothers, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, For not everyone is a believer. The King James says everyone doesn't have faith. Of course, that's true because we're talking about the faith of God. When you get born again, not everybody has the same kind of faith. God puts in you, equips you with that kind of faith, the God kind of faith, the measure of God kind of faith in you when you're born again. He puts that faith in you. That's why you can believe for something. That's why you call a believer, right? So, verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful. Everybody say, the Lord is faithful. Well, he is faithful, isn't he? He's always there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He will strengthen you. Thank God for the Lord. If you ever feel weak today, I want to tell you, ask God to strengthen you today. He will strengthen you. You know, Colossians, I think, 3, over there, chapter 3, not Colossians 3, Ephesians 3, starting from verse 16 and on, it talks about that. I pray that God will strengthen you with inner strength by his power in your spirit, right? So, and guard you from the evil one. That's good, right? We are confident the Lord is doing, that the Lord, we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we command you. You see, this is a faithful thing that we're talking about. God's faithful, but he also wants us to be faithful. He wants us to do the things that God, he wants, you know, every one of us as Christians to follow, you know, whatever he's asked us to do in his word, you know, for assignment. We just look at the scriptures and follow that and just find out what he wants us to do, right? One thing is go to church, which people aren't doing. I mean, we were almost full here before COVID, and look at this. We need to get him back in here. So get on your phones right now and tell people, bring your relatives back and tell people, come back, right? So verse 4, or is it 5, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and patient endurance that comes from Christ. Patience and endurance, we need to have patience, right, to endure. So that kind of patience that comes from, the, you know, that your spirit. You know, sometimes we get so impatient with things, we quit. But we need to be faithful. And no matter what happens, we just stay, we go through the hard times and maybe, you know, this is the kind of stuff we don't like, is that when things are coming too slow, you know, we want to give up. But we need to be faithful. People, remain faithful. Okay? So, it comes from Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who are idle, live idle lives and don't follow the tradition you receive from us. See, we need living examples of people who follow God, not people who just stay home. Right? You could live a really darling Christian life living at home from your sofa. You never have to deal with anybody. You don't have to deal with unruly people. You don't have to deal with patient people, wicked people. Just stay at home and just say, look what a good Christian I am. And never pick up your socks, never come in and clean the church or clean the sidewalk, whatever. Never, don't do anything like that because, you know, after all day, you don't want to be involved in church too much. You know, I think if we get busy, we wouldn't be as offended as we are with other people. Right? We wouldn't even think about that. We get involved. And God wants all of us involved, not just special people. That you're going to leadership tonight. Thank you for going to leadership. You know? So you have to mark in your calendar and be part of something. Follow those people. I've been around for a few years and kept coming here when no one's here. I just came anyway. Just keep coming. When there was no money, or when there was money, right? You just keep coming. Show up. What are you doing here? Just hanging around. Amen? Okay, so, verse 7 says, for you know that you ought to imitate us. Everybody say imitate us. Imitate. That Paul says, you know, as a leader, all of us should be the same way, that someone is following you. Faithful followers follow other people who are faithful because you learn from them. Right? So we follow those who just keep going. I mean, of course, you can say, well, my example is, Paul. He had 39 lashes, save one, or 40 lashes. No, we need somebody who's genuinely there, that you can actually look at them and touch them. They're out there, right? Look at your neighbor, touch your neighbor. Your neighbor is real, right? So if it's COVID time, you don't touch people. But we don't never have COVID here. So, for you know that we ought to imitate, you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. In other words, you don't hang around people just idle, just sit around. You want someone who's busy doing things for God and following the things of God. And I didn't know where to start. Yesterday, Ed and I went to visit a friend of ours, an elder from our town, our reserve. We had something to eat, and one of the other guys asked me, so what's up? Well, I didn't know where to start because I had lots up. I didn't know what to tell him first. I didn't know what he's interested in because I'm doing a lot of things. First of all, one of the things, I've been asked to do a lot of stuff, but I have to be selective what I'm doing. First of all, now I'm thinking about, I have to think about, and I'm going to be meet with the Thunder Bay Flyers coach next week to meet with the boys because I'm supposed to be doing this, chaplaincy for the Thunder Bay Flyers Junior Hockey Club. And North Star, excuse me. The Flyers was the old team. and Pastor Steve, he's looked like he's going to be with the champs this year. He's going to be with the Walleye. So we're on the opposite end. So we're going to fight against each other again this year. Not just for the Boston Bruins, but for Thunder Bay City League. We're going to hate each other a little bit once in a while. the love of the Lord will wax strong. Amen. I'm glad Pastor Ken is not a sports fan alone. He's a restaurant enthusiast. Every time I call him, where are you? Oh, I'm at the Mr. Chinese right now. Your favorite restaurant. I said, thank you for inviting me. So you don't want to be idle like Pastor Ken. No, he's moving. Verse 8, we never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. That's right up his alley. Miss Cindy, are you watching this? We worked hard day and night so that we would not be burdened to any of you. This had to fall real good, eh? We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. In other words, they didn't bum anything. Very appropriate message this morning. God is moving. I believe God's moving in a very special way. Yeah. All righty. So we need living examples. People who follow God, who are in and out. I tell people, if you go 20 years, I'll still be there. You go away 15 years, come back 10 years, 3 weeks, I'm going to still be there. So we're faithful. I'm a pillar. You're a pillar, although you're growing. So we're pillars. We're just solid. Right? My good long life buddy, solid jump. We're solid people. We're unshakable. Winds come, storms come, we're going to be there. Disappointments, we're still going to be there. And that's a decision you make Jesus said, before you ever have trouble, before you follow God, you're going to decide, I'm going to follow God no matter what happens. That's a very good message this morning, isn't it? Yeah? Just go home right now and say, man, I almost get to the introduction and I did the message. Okay. Faithful people are loyal. They're loyal to God. They're loyal to those people that are around them, that work with them. Loyal, you can tell. You know they're going to show up. If they say they're going to be there, you know they're going to be there. And they come. They show up. And they're there to help you out. Keith Moore always says, people need you when they need you. You know, not later on. They need you now. So they're dependable. Proverbs 25, verse 19, the King James Version, Proverbs 25, verse 19 says this, you know. Everybody, let's say this, say, I am faithful. You know, we're faithful. We're all faithful to God. And sometimes we need to grow a little bit, right? Stretch yourself a little bit. And that's what we want to do, stretch you out a little bit more. You know, we're faithful to do something, but our spectrum is getting larger, and we're learning to reach out to more people. And we can do what we can do, right? We're not expecting you to do what you can't do, and you just do what you have to do, and thank God for that. Thank you for being those kinds of people. So, Proverbs 25, verse 19 says that confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Well, you can't depend on that foot. It's out of joint. You can't chew that meat if you want to chew that meat with a tooth that's sore. Man, that's not good to be that kind of a person, right? A sore tooth. You don't want to be that. So let me just say something about this. You know, we need to be faithful. God's always faithful. And we should emulate those who are faithful no matter what happens. We need to be with those people and follow their examples. We should find somebody who's faithful. Because the Bible exhorts us to do that. Find somebody in your life around you that you can see that's faithful doing their job. And also people you admire. Of course, in the Christian world, we admire lots of people. There's people out there that are, you know, we think they're just the most wonderful people. You only see them on TV, you know, or whatever. And they're just like you and I, right? They have the struggle, same thing like you and I. So we need people. We need to see them in black and white. So everything here right now, as you look at it, is going to change. We have a short season here in this world. We're not going to be here forever. So our lives, the Bible says, is like a mist. And now your wife talked about that, driving through that fog the other night, and it's there, but then again, it's gone. We're here today and gone tomorrow, the Bible says. How many people don't know that they might be here only a short time? How much time do you have? I don't know what your time is going to be like. You know, whatever happens, you know, we want to be ready for God all the time, but also we want to stick around for a long time. Be here as long as we can. Especially if you have little children, you want to be there for them, and you don't want to die sick for years and years, and you can't move around. You want to just, when you go, you want to just go, right? You don't want to be a burden to your family, you know. So we want to believe God. That's what we want to believe God. So many have thought they have lots of time left in their lives, but now they're gone. Maybe these people never considered that God had planned for them something wonderful other than what they're living themselves. Let's go read here. James chapter 4, verse 15 and 17. I'm going to read James chapter 4. Let's read verse 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Let's go ahead and pick up from the New Living here. Look here, you who say today, tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we will stay there for a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life will be like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans, for all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then do it not. You know, God puts in our hearts, not only do we find the will of God on the paper, you know, in black and white, we see chapter and verse, but also the Holy Spirit tells you things in your heart to do things. He tells you, do this or do that. Give that or let that go. Go over here. And we don't do it, and we know in our heart that we should do it. But we just kind of put it aside. When God has in plan, God has in mind what he wants you to do, because he has a blessing in it. And all the time, you know, we try to avoid that thing, which seems like a hard thing, but actually there's a blessing in it. Everything God tells you to do is there's blessings in there. He wants to show you something more. And so we just kind of put it off. James says, life is short. Why waste it on idle time or whatever? He says by the Spirit of God, it's so short, it's like a mist. We don't waste our time on foolish things and plans and which amount to nothing, or insignificant things other than what God wants us to do. We shouldn't spend our time on foolishness and selfishness. God sees time differently than we do. It says in the scriptures that like 1,000 years is like a day for God. And one day is like 1,000 years. So it's really like time is insignificant for him. I don't know if you've ever went out in the spirit. Time is nothing. There's no time in this. We live in a time world. But in the spiritual realm, there's no time. Paul said, I went up into heaven. I went up to the third heaven. He didn't have any concept. He didn't know if he was in the body or out of his body. That's what happens in the spiritual world. Most people live in a fantasy world here on earth, and they think this is going to last forever. Everything's going to change. Your family's going to change. Your kids are going to grow up one day. You'll find yourself alone. Some of you already have. Some people just waiting. All the things you're going to do, let me tell you, you're probably not going to do anyway. You probably have different plans. Or you're going to get the grandkids to come live with you. Whatever you want to do. But nothing's going to stay the same. Your body changes too. How many of you found out about that? Huh? Some of us found out about it right now. Nothing remains the same. Nothing remains the same. So one day, everything you know right now is going to be different. Everything you know is going to be different. I know I told someone, you know, when my mother died, it seemed my whole world changed. I didn't care to live in this town anymore. I could just move away and do whatever, because my mom was the center of my life, or the center of our whole family, and she brought everything together. But when she left, there was nothing left. You know, your mother's really special. Yeah? Some people live like nothing's ever changed. Nothing's going to change. And God expects us to change some things. He wants us to be faithful. Life is fading away, even as you're sitting here tonight. It's fading away into a different thing right now. Peter says, life is fading. It doesn't remain the same. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, the King James says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of the grass. The grass fadeth, and the flower thereof falleth away. This is fall, the fall season. Notice all the, you know, the grass is turning, you know, color now. It doesn't grow as much. Thank God for the last little while. We thank God for the grass. Looked wonderful when they cut it here last month or 3 weeks ago. It looks so wonderful. And my house was getting, you know, like a jungle. And thank God somebody come and cut the grass. It looks good. Looks a brand new house. I drove by there myself one day and said, man, this is a wonderful house. Who lives in here? Oh, that's my house. So we humans, the Bible says, are like grass of the field. The word says we're here today and gone tomorrow. So we won't live here forever. You know, you might be crying about stuff that you would like changed. It's not going to always remain the same. You won't cry about that, what you're crying about. It's going to change one day. That person you cry about is going to change. You know, we laugh about this years ago. You know, when you're in high school, you cry for a boy or a girl. Oh, you wanted them so badly. Right? Now you see them, you say, thank God. You know? I'm glad I didn't marry so-and-so. Well, where is she? Oh, she's in jail doing 10. You don't want to be with that. So, time is short. We need to spend our time on the kingdom of God, and what God has planned for us. And you know, what's life about? Just getting a job, working at a job, putting money in the bank and buying stuff. Is that what life is all about? Buying another house, a bigger car. I went shopping yesterday for cars. I stood around, I just almost fainted. A truck, $80,000 a year, $108,000 the vehicle I wanted. And the smaller one I wanted was like $65,000. You know, you want, you know, it's amazing. Lots of money. So, even your body is changing right now. Your body's changing right now. And you need to speak to it too. Speak to it and keep it together. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:53, although, you know, our body is getting wasting away, the scripture says, but one day we'll get a brand new body, but wait until then. So it says in here, for this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and our mortal must put on immortality. The New Living says, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. You'll have a brand new body one day. Thank God for that, right? So we need to be faithfully committed to God. Act like, you know, he's coming tomorrow, somebody says. Or that he's not going to come today, but he's coming at some point. Paul here is preaching, he's praying for the people at Philippi. Over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, he says this, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests for joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the very first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it takes faithful commitment to finish completing the course that God has designed for each one of us. It takes courage to walk in faith. You can't just be a spiritual weakling trying to serve God on your own power. God empowers every one of us to do what he called us to do. He doesn't call you on your own strength. He calls you on his strength to do things. He says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. He'll strengthen you along the way. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, again, the New Living says, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ. You know, God is working in us. He's working in us, in our hearts, helping us to change things, helping us to do things. He's doing that right now. To be that faithful servant. We all want to hear you, good and faithful servant. We want to hear that. So we want to follow instructions very carefully. So it's hard when people don't follow instructions. You ever notice that? If you told your children you left home and tell them, okay, do this, do that, and then nothing's followed through. Have you ever tried to do a project without ever reading instructions? Open up the box, throw away all the plastic and everything else, and then you sometimes throw away some of the screws or parts. So be reminded to read the instructions. Your instructions is your Bible. Read carefully. Not following the instructions will cause failure or even troubles. We cause our own trouble by not reading the instruction. Paul tells the Philippians to follow instructions, and these were faithful followers. Over here in verse 12, it continues, "Dear friends," I'm reading from here, where am I reading here? Verse 14. "Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." So we all need to be reminded every once in a while to do things for God. Paul is telling them, do things for God that you might have forgot. So my job as a coach, your pastor, is to remind you. Are you following? Are you following through with your commitment, what you said you're going to do? Because we need you. We need everybody. If you got a car, you could go pick up somebody. Right? You can pick up somebody. Pick up a few people along the way. Just say, well, where are you going? On Cumberland Street. Well, I'm not doing anything. Just get in. We're going to church. I'm going to give you $100. So we all need mentorship. We all need a coach. You know, we're going to work with those boys, the hockey boys. They need a coach. They need also a life coach. I'm a life coach. So follow instructions. Someone to tell you, to show you what to do. My wife always reminds me of things I was just going to do. Is that what happens at your house too, Kendra? Yeah. I was just going to do that, grab the garbage. She says, you should take the garbage out. I said, I'm just doing that. How did you know that? Just in case. You know? We've been seeing a lot of wildlife lately at our house. You say, you're the wildlife. I guess I think my house has all the lights on, like Friday night, everything, all the lights on. Dogs walking around, you know, barking. but there's raccoons around our house. There's fox, deer, skunks. They let you know they're around. We just drove into our driveway the other day. I saw a skunk like this. We're going to back up here. What was that? What did I see there? Somebody waving something. Was it skunk? Verse 13. For God is working in you. Everybody say, he's working in me. What's he doing in there? Well, he's giving you the desire, number one, and number two, the power to do what pleases him. So when you follow God, even if he didn't want to, he'll give you the want to. You say, I don't want to go to church. Well, ask God. Hey, God, give me the desire to want to go. And also, like, I'm just so tired, I can't do this, can't do that. We're talking about, you know, our elder yesterday at the, we were there, oh, he's tired. He's so tired, he can't even sleep. They get that tired, that's really tired, man. Oh, I'm too tired, I can't sleep. Anybody ever get overtired? One time. Pastor Ken, he's the best sleeper. I travel with him different places, miles and miles. He'd drive real hard. His eyes are all bug shot and everything. And I turn around, you go to jump in bed, he's like... He's got the gift of sleeping. That's great, eh? So we have to be faithful to do what God wants us to do. So this verse 14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Most people, let's not say in here, do this the opposite. No, not in here, right? Complain about everything and argue about everything. How to do it, right? Argue with God, and after you argue with God, then argue with everybody around you. Well, the Bible says do everything without arguing and complaining. Faithful people don't complain. They don't argue with God, and don't argue with those who God places over you. We don't always have to be right. Right? We don't always have to be right. We don't always have to give our opinion. We were talking about this the other day in school. If you ever were in school, there's some people, they always want to tell the teacher about their opinion about what they're teaching. So we would tell the student, please let them teach first and ask questions later. Anybody ever been in school like that? And they, you know, want to talk to the teacher like that. So we can't do things on our own. We need others around us to help us, instruct us. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, who was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You know, that's a good thing to remember, right? God gave you that body. And you say, well, I can do whatever I want. And hey, wait a minute, let's read the scripture over here. You know? Bible tells us about things about marriage too. We need to, one time Brother Higgins says he was counseling a couple, and the husband got involved with somebody else sexually. And they were talking about, you know, something, he asked them about that, but the wife wouldn't use her body in the right way, wouldn't share her body with her husband. So the husband found someone. The devil will accommodate somebody. Pretty quiet, you talk about sex and kids and money. But that happens. He said, well, he did something. Well, hey, you had a part in it. You need to protect your home, right? Unless it's for a season. So your body is not your own, husbands and wives. I'm meddling now. So husbands go, yeah, see, pastor what pastor says. Sunday afternoon. I love coming to this church. Thank you, Lord. Now let's get on to better things. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 17 here, it says, 12 to 17. Did we talk about that already? We did, right? Don't argue. Don't fuss. So anyway, let's talk about here something. We'll skip some of this stuff and go to here. Let's find Acts chapter 20, 22 to 24. Let's read the King James here.
Paul says this. Now, Paul is an example of faithfulness. He's an example that we can follow. He says, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Everybody say, bound in the Spirit. Unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, here by the Holy Spirit, the Bible said the scripture uses this expression, he's bound in the Spirit. Now, that means he was committed to God to the end. He was committing unreservedly to God, giving God first place in his life, and he's going to follow God no matter what happens. But God showed them ahead of time what's going to happen, but he still went ahead. Now, God might show you something, like he did with me. God had to show me. He said, okay, I want you to do this, but there's going to be some tough slugging ahead. I said, okay, God, gave you my life. So I followed God. Now, here's something a fantasy that you might all have. That life is not going to go always the way you want it. You're not going to always, it's not about having fun every day. Right? Serving God is not all about having fun every day. We want some measure of that, of course. We can believe God for that. But you're going to find some troubling times sometimes. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulations, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord will deliver you out of every one of them, time and time again. You will go through trials. But God will show you that, hey, you're going to go here, but there's going to be some struggles here. But I want you to go anyway. You know? And so there's times where I had to clean out my bank account and give everything. But I knew I was going to do it out. I knew I was going to do it out. But I gave anyway because I didn't have enough to pay for everything, so I had to sow anyway. Some of us have been there at times, so we just go ahead and sow because we know that God has some plan. Like right now, I don't owe anybody anything. I think I owe $700. That's all I owe in the world. But, you know, I don't live extravagantly. I could go buy that $100,000 vehicle if I want to. And cry all day. You know? And say, pray for me. Y'all pray for me. The devil is attacking me. My wife will say, I'll attack you. You get those bulldogs to beat you. So, he says, I'm bound in the Spirit. He's committed to the end with God. You don't always have to know every step of the way where God's leading you, right? You don't always know. Like right now, there's some things on my plate that I have on my plate that is not, if people ask me something, they tell me exactly what to do right away. But I'm looking at it from what God wants me to do. You know, I could tell you, if you come to me for counsel, I'll tell you what to do. We don't always do that, right? We know what they can tell you, so you don't go to them. So we have to follow God in our hearts. It takes faith to step out, and it's not easy being faithful. It's not always easy. It's not the most exciting things to be faithful all the time. Because you can miss out on some exciting things, like the CLE, or going to the mall on Saturday. I mean, talk about small things, right? He says, verse 23, save the Holy Ghost, witnesses in every city. Every city. How would you like to have trouble in every city you go? Well, according to Paul, every city he went, he had riots, stonings, beatings. You think you have trouble with your little Facebook? This guy had lots of trouble. Every city saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Bonds and afflictions. He says, Holy Spirit says, okay, I want you to go here. You're going to have some beatings here. You're going to have this problem. You're going to have this problem. God showed him some things. Paul said the Holy Spirit gave him a witness. And he said, what was the trouble? He says, trouble is ahead. Sometimes he'll show you just to help you get through the struggles. He show you, okay, I want you to go this way, but there's troubles. I want you to know I'm there with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes when we have trouble as faithful followers, we think, God, oh, he left me. No, he hasn't left you. He's there. In your trouble, he's there. He's going to take you through it. So, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel. You know, when we were at Rhema, I remember Lynette telling us, what moves you? You know, in life. What moves you in life? And he said, there are hard times coming. But that's not going to move me. I'm going to stay where I am. I know hard times is coming, but I'm going to stay right where I am because I'm going to be a faithful follower. If God's going to find me, he's going to find me right here where he sent me. A lot of times I try to get away from the city. I said, I could be somewhere else where my kids would have better opportunities or have maybe more money, whatever. Besides, these people don't deserve me anyway. I'm a great guy. You ever say that to yourself? They don't deserve me here at Faith City Church. They don't even respect me around here. Don't they know what great person I am? Yeah, yeah. We know who you are. So, don't move where God called you. Or don't go where God didn't call you. Some people go and assign themselves somewhere where God didn't call them at all. They're just making a move on their own. So we need to learn to endure hard times. Let's close up here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. So being a follower of God means that you're going to go through some tough times. It's not going to be easy coming to Faith City Church. You might find somebody who rubs you the wrong way. Brother Higgins used to say, that guy, he rubs my fur the wrong way. Sometimes that happens. I've had people tell me, I'm not going there because he's there. She's there. You know, I'm not going there. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, the King James says, he's telling this young man, his protege, Timothy, he's speaking to him. You know, we all need mentorship, right? And Timothy is getting some good mentorship, getting some good training. And he says, watch thou in all things. You got to be careful about everything, right? So endure afflictions. So if you come to my office, you're going to hear me say this, endure afflictions. That's the word of the Lord. Did you get a word from me? Yes, I did. Endure afflictions. Prophetic word. And he says, do the work of an evangelist. That's what people go, yeah, that's what I want, man. I want to be an evangelist. Okay? You know what that means, right? You're going to have to get some offerings together. You get a team going. Make full proof of your ministry. Verse 6, for I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. You know, they talk about the drink offering, right? There's a drink. That means a drink offering means you're going to pour out your life. Pouring your life out for God. And I hear some of these TC people telling me, oh, we're going to pour into you. We're going to pour into this person. I'm going to pour into that person. They're pouring out constantly. Out of your innermost being so full of rivers of living water, right? So you might not like all the pouring I'm going to pour on you. So, for my departure is at hand. So this guy knew he's leaving town. You know, when you leave town, you can just tell everybody what you want to know. What you want. He's telling everybody, I'm getting out of here soon. I'm happy. You know, this guy knew he's going. And I believe God can tell you, your time is up. And prepare you, especially a man like this, right? I'm leaving. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. So Paul tells his protege, be alert, spiritually, be alert what God's saying. Go through those hard times. Serve God. Serve the call. Be ready, like Paul was ready. He knew his time was coming. He was faithful right to the end. He poured out his, you know, whatever he poured out. And, you know, we need to be where God wants us to be, right? Stay where God wants us to be. And, you know, you're a big shot when you go somewhere else. Brother Hagin always said, you know, you're a big shot. You're a big, you know. We talked about that the other day in our meeting. We said, you know, how come they always call someone from an out of town to tell us what to do here in our city? When we have people over here that are well-educated, well-able to tell our citizens and our policing and our mayor about what to do. But we go to Toronto where they know everything. Or we call somebody, you know, when in the ministry you used to get, you go call those guys from the southern, they'll tell us what to do. No, we know what to do. We know what to do. 2 Timothy 4, 8, and 11. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, not only me, but also all them that love his appearing. Now, Paul said, I'm going to get a crown, but you're all going to get a crown too. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas has forsaken me. Now, he's probably mad at Demas. And I can think of a few people that I've been mad at that left me. You know, just when we were just starting the project, we just planned, we prayed about it, I said, well, we're leaving. And some of those people, Pastor Steve, have left, and they've never went back to ministry. Some of them are driving trucks for the Lord, I guess, and doing whatever. They thought it's greener on the other side of the field. They could have been right here sitting where Pastor Ken's in. Look, he's taking his blessing now. Yeah? So, but somebody's taking his blessing wherever he left. I'm taking his blessing, he's taking mine. It's like the three stooges, right? Where's that 20 owe me? Remember that one? Where's that 20 owe me? The three of them are standing there. And the other guy says, well, you owe me 20. Well, here's that 20. Here's that 5 you owe me. Oh, you owe me 10. Okay. And it goes all, that 20 goes all around until no one owes anybody anything. That's what happens to me, Pastor Steve. Demas has forsaken me. You know, not everybody stays, right? So it doesn't matter if Demas left for you. You say, well, Demas has gone to Churchill, or he's gone to Elam Pentecostal Church. Well, leave him there. That's good for Demas and the other people. Having loved this present world, some people, okay, they love the world better, they'll follow the world, and has departed to Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me, that little Lukey. Take Mark, bring him for thee, for he is profitable for me in the ministry. At one time, this man was not profitable, but he changed around. He became faithful. He wasn't faithful in the beginning, but he became faithful later. This is John Mark. So it's not too late for us to change, to be faithful, right? So thank God for this. Let's go ahead and close.